Let's draw near to God in His Word and pray that He'll draw near to us through His Word and open our hearts and let Him love you as He speaks to you here in Romans 4 and 5. Romans 4, 23 through 5, verse 11. Find that on page 1198 in your pew Bibles. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. Or righteousness will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our text, congregation, is verses 1 and 2. Let's look at those again. We'll follow these verses carefully this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this afternoon, Lord willing, we'll look at verses 3 through 5. This is God's word. May he bless our hearts, increase our faith and our hope through his word this morning. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you've heard when interpreting Bible passages and you see a therefore. 5 verse 1 starts with a therefore. That you need to ask, what's the therefore there for? And that's really where we're going this morning. What's the therefore there for? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and that's what this passage is dealing with, the therefore of justification, or the result, or the fruit, the benefits of being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no work of God so powerful and life-changing and fruitful as the work of justification. When God comes to you as a sinner under his wrath and judgment, and he accounts your sins over to Jesus and doesn't count them against you, he forgives you. And he takes Jesus' righteousness, perfect righteousness, and counts that over to you so that he sees you as completely righteous. What's the therefore of that? He forgives you. All your sins are gone. He declares you righteous in Christ. So you're perfect in his sight. The therefore is you have a new relationship with God. And you've been transferred out of his wrath, a relationship of wrath and judgment, into a relationship of love and peace. And Martin Luther says, when I discovered that teaching, that truth of God's work of justification by faith, it was like heaven's gates opened and paradise poured out upon me. This is a powerful work of God with powerful consequences for your life. And we want to look at two chief graces or consequences that come out of that flow out of justification this morning. They're both listed in verses 1 and 2. One is peace with God, and the other is hope in the glory of God. Peace with God and hope for the glory of God, or the hope of the glory of God. Those are the two we want to look at this morning, and may the Lord draw us near to him and to his table by means of this passage. So let's look at each of these two gifts. First of all, the first fruit, the first grace, great grace that is opened up to us when we're justified, when we're forgiven and declared righteous through faith in Jesus, is we have peace with God. Peace with God. In our sin, it's not that way. We're at war with God. We're haters of God, said Romans 1. Romans 8, we're hostile toward God and his law. We find God oppressive. He gets in our way. We don't want him in our lives. We're at war with God, and God's at war with us. We're under his wrath. We're under his judgment. We're his enemies. We're in bad shape. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, that all changes. And we have peace with God. From no peace to peace. I want to look at seven marks of this gift of peace. First of all, this peace is in Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself is our peace. God reconciles sinners to himself through the blood of his Son. All the sin that I carry, he put on Jesus and killed Jesus instead of me. All the wrath that is headed for me, God steers away from me and puts on his Son. And through his blood, his death in our sin under God's wrath, I'm brought near to God. I'm reconciled through his blood. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 says that on him, on Jesus, was put the chastisement that brought us peace. What a firm foundation for our peace, people of God. This is no uneasy truce that may soon erupt into war again. You know how it is between Israel and the Palestinians. Oh, they declared peace. There's a peace agreement. But we know that's very uneasy, and it could erupt at any time because it's based on the works of man. But here's a peace, a perfect peace, based on the perfect work of Jesus Christ. And it's not an uneasy truce that when we mess up, it could erupt again into hatred and into wrath. No. When you belong to Jesus by faith, you have peace. on the solid rock of the perfect work of Jesus Christ, and that never, ever changes. Jesus has truly and forever removed your sin from you, and truly and forever removed the wrath of God from you, and you're safe. Peace in Christ. Secondly, this peace with God is peace from God. When we think of peace with God, sometimes we start from below. That's a wrong place to start. We think that we initiated peace. We saw that we were in trouble. So we came to God with a peace treaty. We're sorry, God. We've sinned. We've really messed up. And we deserve your wrath. But please have mercy on us. It doesn't start from us. This peace with God is peace from God. Romans 5 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, not seeking any peace with God. While we were enemies, hating God, giving him the finger, shaking our fist in his face, God came to us with terms of peace. Isn't that love? He sent his Son, who established peace through his blood on the cross. And through faith in Jesus Christ, that peace is given to us freely. It's peace from God. It comes from his side. And that's why so many places in the Bible, Romans 15, verse 13 is one example. He's called the God of peace. Peace with God comes from the God of peace. It's from his side. And that makes it all the more certain and sure that it's his idea, his desire, his delight. There's so much confidence for you in that. Thirdly, this peace is a state of peace. Even before it's an inner feeling of peace, a peace of conscience, it's a state of peace. When we believe in Jesus Christ, God forgives our sin. He counts us righteous, and he declares to us, I'm at peace with you. We're no longer in a relationship of war, he says, but we're in a relationship of peace. And even though we don't always feel that peace so fully in our hearts, we don't, do we? And even though our consciences sometimes tremble because of our sin and the knowledge of God's holiness, and even though our assurance of that peace with God is not always so strong, it's real. God has declared it. We are at peace with one another. And it's true for you, believer, even when you don't feel it so strongly. You have peace with God. And he calls us by faith to embrace this gift of God with a believing heart. Peace with God. Lord, my conscience accuses me, but I trust the blood of Christ to establish peace, and that through his blood you've declared peace, and it's real even when it doesn't feel so strong in me. And so I'll come to your table with confidence that Jesus is my peace. It's a state of peace. Fourthly, it's a present peace. It's ours now. Again, look at Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we will have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not we will one day have peace when we die and go to heaven as believers. Or when Jesus returns and brings us into the new creation. Until now, there is no peace. Oh, it's present. No matter how much war and disruption and frustration there is all around us, how much struggle and trouble. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God now. We're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and everything's been taken care of. All the offenses are cleared away. He loves you now. He embraces you now. He accepts you now. You have access to him now. Think of Queen Esther coming to the king and hoping that he'll hold out the golden scepter and receive her at the throne of grace. And she comes in and he holds out the golden scepter and whatever you ask, I'll give it to you, even up to half my kingdom. Not so with God. With God, the door is always open. He always holds out the scepter. It never goes down. Jesus is at God's right hand. And he doesn't say, whatever you ask, I'll give you up to half my kingdom. He says, my whole kingdom is yours. Now we have peace with God. Now. That reminds us of what Paul will say later in Romans 8. There is therefore now. Now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now. And fifthly, it's a standing peace. It's a standing peace. Having said that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, as sort of a backhanded reminder, adds these words in verse 2. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. But in the Greek, 1 and 2 are one sentence. I'm going to read it like it is in the Greek. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And this is the idea, by faith in Jesus, you have constant access, you have standing access to all of God's grace, including the greatest grace that comes from justification, peace with God. You have constant access to the grace of peace. It's a standing peace. Every time you sin, go to God for your forgiveness and renewal. He'll receive you. You're at peace with him and he with you. And every time you're weak and your faith is fainting, go to the Lord. Seek his blessing. And you'll discover a God of peace who's at peace with you through Jesus Christ and will hear you and answer you and help you. It's a standing peace. It never goes away. You always have access by faith into this grace of peace in which you stand. Wow. The door, again, is always open with God. Sixthly, it's peace with God. Peace with God. Focus on the word with. It's a peace of friendship and fellowship. You're God's friend through Jesus Christ, like God called Abraham his friend when Abraham believed. Wow. It's a covenant relationship in which God has committed to you forever as his loved ones. Sometimes when we say, yeah, I'm at peace with this brother or sister. I mean, we don't talk, but we're not fighting. Is that peace? That's just not fighting quite outwardly. True peace is not just an absence of conflict. It's a presence of harmony and fellowship. That's the peace God establishes with us and that we should seek with one another. Not just an absence of fighting, but a presence of fellowship. Peace with God. It's a fellowship of conversation and communion with God. He talks to you through his word personally by the Spirit's power. He lives in you through the Spirit. He listens to you when you pray. He dines with you at the table. He pulls you closer to himself. Let's eat and drink together. It's a peace in which we walk and talk with our God by faith in a fellowship, a daily fellowship of love. Peter says that when Jesus died, the just for the unjust, he died to bring us to God, to bring us to God, so we could be together with him. Do we make use of this peace with God? Do we exploit it? I get to walk with God. I get to talk with God. I get to meet him in his word. I get to meet him in prayer. I get to meet him in the assembly of the saints. Are you taking every advantage of this peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? He delights in you, dear saint. He loves to fellowship with you. He loves to walk and talk with you. It is great delight when you come to him and seek him. Peace with God. And one more thing, one more aspect of this peace with God, it's a full peace. The Old Testament word for peace, maybe you know that, is Salem or Shalom. Shalom. And Paul is stressing here that through Christ by faith, God is bringing you into a life of shalom, of perfect peace and rest. It's the fulfillment of all that God has promised in his covenant of grace. Through Christ, that has become yours. That life of shalom. And though we don't have a full measure yet of that peace in this life, God has started something. Shalom. That's not going to end. But it's going to keep getting deeper and fuller and richer and wider and greater as we journey closer and closer to the goal of peace with God in the heavenly realms. We're headed for perfect shalom. A restored kingdom where every man will sit under his vine and fig tree, the Bible says, where the wolf will live with the lamb and the child will play by the hole of the cobra. And there'll be nothing to hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, a fully restored creation, a paradise where everything is right, where everything is whole. And that full peace has already made a beginning with you, dear believer, through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's going to keep growing till God takes you to glory. And that brings us to the second great grace of God in our justification. Paul says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we stand. And we're not done yet, says Paul. There's another great grace. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. These are like the bookends of the blessings of the covenant given to us in our justification. Peace with God right out the gate. Glory of God on the other side of the gate of glory, of the finish line. And everything in between is included. We get the bookends here. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's a sense in which that's already found in the gift of peace with God. As we said, that shalom. God's beginning something there that's going to grow bigger, deeper, wider, fuller until it becomes perfect shalom, perfect paradise. But now he says it specifically, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When we're justified by God in Christ through faith, And we enter into a right relationship with him. He adopts us as his children and we become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And it means the whole heavenly inheritance becomes ours the moment we believe, the moment we're justified. And that inheritance is the glory of God. What does that mean? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What's the glory of God that we hope for? It's not only seeing God, seeing his glory in full color when Jesus returns and raises our dead bodies and transforms our lowly bodies and brings us into the new creation, heaven on earth, where God will be all in all, and he will spread his tent over us, and we'll enjoy a full measure of the promise, I am your God, you're my people. The hope of the glory of God is not only seeing his glory, but by it's being changed into his glory and being fully transformed by it so that we become like him. This is what John says in 1 John 3. When Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we see his glory, that glory will change us into his glory. Wow. Paul says that in Romans 8. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. And by that he means the glory that will be revealed in us and we receive the redemption of our bodies. When Jesus returns, he'll take us to an everlasting inheritance. Whereas Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You know what this glory looks like and feels like? He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There'll be no need for the sun or the moon in heaven, because the glory of God will shine everywhere, in everything, in everyone. God will be all in all. And the justified sinner rejoices in this hope of the glory of God. And what is hope but something that reaches into the future and makes the future present? It's real for me now already, even though I don't have the fullness of it yet. It's mine now. When we're justified by faith, we live in the joy of this hope that full glory is on the way for sure, because Jesus has purchased it for me. And Jesus' righteousness guarantees it to me. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Too often, we look for hope in the things of this world, the toys, the amusements, sitting back in front of Netflix, the riches, the vacations, the wealth, the power, all the things the world considers so joyful. But when we focus on that, why do we get so grumpy and miserable? Because those things are so small. And so little, and so fading, and so short-lived, and so temporary, and so superficial. They really can't give you anything deep at all. And we're called to raise our sights and our hopes much higher to what God has for us in Christ Jesus. Heaven, glory, paradise. Eternal life with God in the fellowship of the saints. with no sin, no frustration getting in the way. And when we here on earth have our sights set on that, that's a life of joy. That will take the grumps away. That will give us thanksgiving. We have so much through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. The hope of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, let us learn to focus our entire life on these two great graces of God, which are ours for sure, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased them for us with his blood. And if you have a life of no real peace, because you're at war with God, and no real hope, because you're living for this world, don't spend one more day in that squalor that leads to death. But run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him. Seek him for your righteousness, and a door of paradise will open to you, and you'll be ushered into the gateway of peace. Finally, peace with God and hope for the glory of God. May he fill our hearts and lives, each one of us, with peace and hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call upon you with thanksgiving that in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have not only the gift of righteousness, but of life, peace with God, and the hope of glory. We pray that you will help us to make the most of these great gifts. We pray, Father, that you will strengthen our faith at the table now too. Pray that you will feed us there with the hope and the joy and the glory of heaven. Renew our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose death guarantees to us all these blessings of God, and whose resurrection brings them to us. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.